Hey everyone, this is John. This is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. We are getting back into some Space World episodes here. So up next on the docket, we have Pandorum. So, as always, do expect spoilers. All right, we got Pandorum on tap here, which is from 2009.
Spoilers.
Shut up.
Aren't you supposed to, like, do the description?
I am driving the boat
and let the fan
this time.
Home guess. And
we're not doing that.
Figure it out.
We're not doing that.
All right, well.
So we're watching a bad movie.
This one's
it's got Ben Gordon in it.
Ben Foster.
And it's about a little girl that is given a box from the gods that holds all the evils of the world in it, right?
Shut up.
Same one.
This one is directed by Christian Alvart. Mm-hmm. Stars Dennis Quaid, so the bad Quaid, as well as Ben Foster. Norman Reedus makes a small appearance.
I know,
yeah. Interested.
How about that?
In that. And, you know, this movie is...
You know, he's not even Irish. I mean, he is Irish, but he's not, like, from Ireland Irish.
No, he's, like, from, like,
he's
Detroit
from Southern,
or something, right?
He's, like, from Southern California.
Okay. He's got that surfer look, doesn't he? A very clean cut.
Yeah.
Anyway. This movie is pretty generally disliked.
Yeah, well, as one would imagine. Having seen the movie, I can confirm it's not a very good movie.
Why are you talking about it?
Because it's a space movie.
Discussing? Is it
Shut the fuck
but
up.
Is it a space movie, though?
It is, sort of. It is a movie that takes place on a spaceship.
Yes.
The premise of this movie is that a spaceship was launched from Earth to this other habitable planet that they found, just as, like, Earth is on the brink of a population overload. Through several twists and turns throughout the movie, you find out that Earth has indeed perished. Everyone on Earth is dead. They are the last remnants of the human race. And, oh shit, the ship is also infested with zombie-like creatures who chase after people and kill them.
Yeah.
So Ben Foster wakes up from hypersleep. They're like, there's like a rotation of commanding officers on the ship. Everyone works for, like, I don't know, 10 years or something, because this trip is going to take hundreds of years. Everyone works for a few years. They go back into suspended animation. The next crew wakes up. They run the ship for a while. So Ben Foster wakes up from his suspended animation. Shit has already gone down. Like, this is... Terrible things have happened. Nothing is working on the ship. They only have, like, a few hours left before they lose all power, and the mission is entirely fucked.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like... This movie, as we mentioned before, generally disliked. I have watched this movie like 5 or 6 times. I don't hate it. Now, I will admit that this is not like a masterpiece.
That's a ringing endorsement. I don't hate it.
But that is the best thing about putting a box for this shit. Yeah. Like, yes, but somebody quote me on the Blu-ray release for Pandorum. I don't hate it. And, you know... It's derivative, sure. It is a little bit... I don't know, right? Why don't you tell me, like, what don't you like about this movie? Like, I find it to be, like...
So,
I feel like the script, to me, is strong enough. It's got enough, like, plot twists to remain interesting throughout. Like, the characters aren't particularly...
No, it's not all that fresh in my mind, but I remember going into this movie having seen the film Event Horizon.
Uh-huh.
And knowing
Tremendous.
That this is... And yeah, Event Horizon is amazing. And that P.T. Anderson is pretty heavily involved in the creation of this film, right?
Is he?
Or not P.T. Anderson. Paul W.S. Anderson, right? The guy that's responsible for Event Horizon. Didn't he produce this?
Oh, you know what? Yes, I believe you're correct. I'm not seeing his name in the credits here. But
he didn't direct it, but I know that he this is sort of like his brainchild. And it, to me, it was a bit derivative of that. It was essentially like... space station crew stumbles into shitty scenario.
Yeah.
Where they're...
Can I make a weird sidetrack that has nothing to do with Pandorum real quick?
No, only for a minute.
I kid you not, I had a dream about a Event Horizon sequel.
Oh, did you?
About running through the ship because the demon had come loose.
Oh,
and
that's amazing.
I had a dream like this is what would happen if this was the sequel. Like, just nonsense.
I dream about an Event Horizon sequel every day.
Yeah. It's a living dream.
It was a very, very weird dream.
Was it bad? I mean, did you wake up from it? You call it a dream, not a nightmare, right? So you were there. You were, like, enjoying it as it happened.
I didn't, like, wake up in a cold sweat, like, freaking out or anything like that. I woke up and I'm like, huh,
That's buried in the depth of my psyche? Okay.
Yeah, all right. Apparently this is what I am. All right, I'm okay with it.
Yeah, no, so this is just, it's a weird movie, and I don't think it paid it off all that well, because there is sort of a punchline ending, you could say, to what's going on here.
There is a punchline ending. And we're gonna...
Event Horizon pretty much up front tells you what's going on. This is sort of like, oh, there's all this fucked up shit he's trying to figure out. Is why is this so weird? Why are things the ship so messed up?
And then why is this room full of spikes?
Well, like in Event Horizon, I mean, you do have that mystery of where has the ship been.
Yeah.
And you do get reveals of that as you go forward. And in Pandorum, it's not really... They all assume that they are still on their space flight journey to this next planet. We're going to get to the twist ending in a second here. But I do want to say, the characters... Like, there's a couple of characters. Like, Ben Foster, he is the mechanic everyman. He is just trying to get to the engine room, which there's tons of these monsters in between him and the engine room. So he can restart the engine, restore power, so they can find out where they are in their journey. That's the goal, is to figure out how to fix the ship and so that they can assess their progress of how close they are to their destination.
Do they ever find out what these zombie things are? Or are they the ex-crew that went mad or something?
Well, see, you had crew, but then you had passengers. And these passengers, because they had been in the suspended animation for so long, they modify their genetics in order to allow them to be suspended for so long during space travel, and some of them reacted poorly to that alteration. Wow. So when they got out, their power failures, the thing opened back up, their little tubes, and they're like, we're monsters now, let's kill everybody. But it's still like, not in the literal sense.
I really hope that somebody came out of the cage and was like, we're monsters now, let's go kill.
That's a deleted scene.
I would love to watch that.
One of the interesting things about this, in spite of it not being a particularly well-made film, is that there's a ton of symbolism built into it. And there's actually a lot of... I was just looking online. There's numerous breakdowns that people have made of the film. They layer in a ton of Greek mythology into the story, including the symbols that you see in the background, a lot of the naming conventions of things. The general arcs of events that happen relate to all of this. I don't know. It's interesting stuff, but it's so buried in it, and the story itself is not interesting.
Dude, that intrigues me, though, because I really enjoy Greek mythology.
Well, and the way
it's a movie that may be better consumed when watching it with a walkthrough of someone explaining to you what a lot of the stuff has this... Because, I don't know, that's what's so weird about this, is that it's very surface level. Like, it's very much... like just this monster kind of trapped in space station kind of thing, when in reality, or I guess when the creators had it in mind, is supposed to be a much deeper allegory of gods and monsters, and this doesn't deliver that, or at least it doesn't make it apparent to the viewer.
Well, see, what they do is when they're peppering in all of the backstory, when you're kind of figuring out more about the ship and what's been happening here, it is very much like a mythos that people are conveying, because they're conveying the events that have happened on the ship through drawings that they've done on walls and these sort of fantastical renditions of what has been happening. It's a lot of it's delivered by one particular character that they meet throughout the story, like the character that traps them and is threatening to eat them because that's how he survived for so long, because by becoming a cannibal.
Who is that, by the way? Can you refresh my memory?
I don't remember the actor's name.
These monsters
name.
Are, like, they talk. They're...
No, he's not actually a monster. The monsters don't have any, sort of high cognitive abilities. Like, they can strategize and they can reason through things, but they're not doing any sort of communicating or negotiating. They are killing machines.
Philosophizing.
Well, don't you go through a large chunk of the movie with the idea that, what is it, the captain of the ship is kind of trying to help the people along? Like, he's there as a good guy, he's trying to facilitate them, and then there's kind of a heel turn that happens for him. Dennis Quaid's character.
He does have a heel turn. It's one of the probably one of the weaker elements of the character. Well, none of the characters are really all that strong throughout the entire movie. Like, I talked a little bit about Ben Foster, the other character played by Dennis Quaid. You think he is this lieutenant, but as it turns out, stop it.
He should be in this movie.
He is this.
You wouldn't make it far. He has no legs.
Yeah.
He
just gets strapped onto somebody's back.
Yeah, the feet are the least important thing on you when you're trying to swim. So that's right, the feet.
The feet. It's the most important. The least important thing when you're trying to swim. Got it.
So Dennis Quaid is this character who is assuming the role of the next commanding officer for that particular shift. In reality, he is a not a commanding officer, but like a corporal, like an engineer or something, who had a psychotic break on the ship, killed off his crew, and that's...
Assumed command to himself.
Right, and then there's this mistaken identity.
Oh, and then Ben Foster kind of wakes up and stumbles into this whole scenario. Is that right?
Ben Foster was... Dennis Quaid had already was asleep, too. So he assumed this role, but then went ahead and put himself back into hypersleep. I don't know why. For fuck's sake, doesn't matter. Yeah. He just fucking did. He decided he was tired, wanted to take a nap. I don't know. And...
He said it for 10 years, went shit.
Right. Ben Foster wakes up, realizes things have gone to shit on the ship, wakes up Dennis Quaid. Dennis Quaid, because he's had a psychotic break, has a case of mistaken identity, assumes that he is the person whose life pod he assumed. So, as he's going throughout, as they're going on their adventure, like Dennis Quaid is facilitating, Ben Foster is doing all the work, Dennis Quaid starts to descend more into madness, and that manifests through this other character that pops up, Gallo, who is Dennis Quaid's real personality that then begins to take over.
Mm.
And then by the end, then you do have that showdown between Ben Foster and Dennis Quaid. There are a couple of other characters that he meets throughout the journey. No one's particularly stand out. You got like the scientist girl who's also a survivalist. You got the Asian guy who's really good with martial arts. You know, this is, it's kind of tropey shit. it's pretty tropey, but then...
Does he walk around with a sword, too?
He's got a spear. And...
Of course.
What?
I don't know.
Could you not be racist for one fucking show?
They're the ones being racist. They're just calling it out.
Fine. Anyway, we're not going to spend too much longer on this movie. Before we get into the big twist, it's fine. This is not a great movie. Like, this is a movie, like, if it comes on, like, Sci-Fi Channel, cool.
Enjoy the romp.
Right. It's got enough of, like little intriguing plot twists, and I think, like, the layers of mystery are thick enough to at least be interesting, to make it worth a watch.
Okay,
so the final twist is that they finally...
Which, by the way, if you've seen Planet of the Apes...
Uh-huh.
This twist should sound familiar.
It's derivative. It's derivative of a lot of things here.
Yeah.
It draws a lot of inspiration from different sources.
They wake up on shore with a broken Statue of Liberty?
Close.
That's what actually damaged the ship.
So
they raid to the Statue of Liberty.
So they get power restored to the engines. The ship is saved. They get back to the cockpit. Dennis Quaid is already there. He has fully gone psychotic. They open up the windows and they just see like what they assume is the blackness of space. They don't see any stars, and they're like, holy shit, how far out have we gone? We don't see any stars anymore. There is a fight between Ben Foster and Dennis Quaid, and while they wrestle around in a homoerotic manner, a jellyfish swims by the window, and the only other surviving member at that point, the girl, is like, oh my god, it's a space jellyfish or some shit. And then of course, you know, through a series of a couple more reveals, you realize that they are underwater. They have already reached their destination. They have been underwater for some time. So then they eject all the other remaining life pods and swim to shore. Humanity gets to survive.
Great, everything's great.
Yeah, everything's fine now. We're good. Made it. Done. Another job well done.
Quick question. Who is here psychotic monsters? I just want to know ahead of time. Just take a roll call.
Well, they do establish a little bit earlier that there were still surviving humans in their life pods. So those are the people who got ejected. The rest of the monsters, you assume, drowned in the ship.
Yeah, but what are the other people were monsters? What do you think if they were monsters? They just hang out on their life pods yet?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guess they could be. I don't know. It doesn't matter. This movie is not worth thinking about for more than 15 minutes, and we're at the 14-minute mark. We're done here.
Well, no, that's the thing, though, is, like, Event Horizon, because I keep going back to Paul Anderson, the guy behind this movie, right? And Paul Anderson, with Event Horizon, there is no twist ending. He tells you up front
The
thing that's cool about it.
Right.
That makes hell spill over into reality. And in this one, it's sort of like this goofy little kind of,
right.
Hey,
surprise!
Remember that thing that was supposed to be what everyone was doing? It's not that.
Right.
So,
I guess it can feel a little bit cheap to have those twists like M. Night Shyamalan type endings. Like, what you thought isn't real.
Yeah. You could have told us the truth up front, and maybe we would have had a different movie, and maybe we would have approached it differently, would have enjoyed it anyways.
The ending is just there to try to give them some kind of closure with the ending, the actual story. Instead of like, oh, they're still in space, and they're going to go to sleep and keep searching. Like, oh, we're on Earth now. Mm-hmm. Who cares? It doesn't change anything about the story. Who cares?
It's true. They could have, like, turned the engine back on, opened the window, like, hey, we're in orbit. All right, we're good.
Hey, there's Earth. Earth. Let's do it, guys.
No, like, no, they're not on Earth.
They've been. Oh, not Earth. They're made of the planet. They're made of the planet.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Planet
Earth,
Bob.
Earth 2. Planet's
got a lot of water, and they're in it. So, that's great. Jellyfish! Great!
This fucking
space
jellyfish!
Let's go shake hands with the fucking jellyfish and announce our presence.
Whales and shit. By the way, enjoy smallpox, indigenous life forms. Come on. Anyway, I think that's enough of this movie. Alright, and that is going to close us out for this edition of Space World. Next up on the Nintendo, we're going to be doing the mini show, and we got a ton of games to get to. So, till next time, everybody.